Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we ask for your presence, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Come into the rooms where we are seated. Visit us, touch us, and help us to understand the words that come out of my mouth. Those words be from you, Lord. Anoint the words that come out of my mouth. And all those who listen it, let the words pierce deep into their hearts and change us. Help us to go back from the meeting changed. I ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. So before I share the word, I would like to share a story. This is about a girl whom I know. She, when there is a special occasion like birthday or something or party, she would go to her wardrobe, stand in front of that wardrobe, and says, I don't have any good clothes to wear. So before you guess who it is, I would like to share most of the believers, especially those who are baptized in the Spirit and those tongue-speaking believers, don't know what they have. It's like this girl in front of her wardrobe. In Acts 1:8, Jesus says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. So when you are baptized with the Holy Spirit, power comes. This Greek word for this power means miraculous power, strength, might. So we receive this power when Holy Spirit comes upon us. The only thing is, we don't operate in this power because we don't see it. We are distracted. We are in unbelief. The title of my message is When Holy Spirit Moves. There is a move of Holy Spirit which happens when we let Him move. So this is what exactly happened in today's portion of scripture, Acts 4. We have been going through this book of Acts since last 2 months. So today we are reading from Acts 4, 1 to 22. So before we read this scripture, I would like to tell what happened before this. In Acts 3, Peter and John is going to the temple to pray. They see a man who is lame from birth, a 40-year-old man. And Peter, by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the name of Jesus, heals this man. And people are amazed. And Peter uses this opportunity to preach the gospel and proclaim about Jesus. Let's get into the scriptures. I would request Ephraim, Binsi, Sushil, and Christy to read 5 verses each. So over to you, Ephraim.
The priest... Acts 4, 1 to 5. The priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed. So the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. The next day, the rulers, the elders, and the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem.
Annas the high priest was there, and so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and others of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them, by what power or what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed.
From 11 I read, Jesus is the stone you builder rejected, which has become a cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that this man had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. So they ordered them to withdraw from the surrender and then confirmed together.
What are we going to do with these men? They asked. Everyone living in Jerusalem know they have performed a notable sign and we cannot deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn them to speak no longer to anyone in this name. Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, "Which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard."
So Acts 4:21 to 22, after further threats, they let them go. They could not decide how to punish them because all the people were praising God for what had happened. For the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old. So I would like to summarize what we just read. Peter and John is proclaiming about Jesus and the resurrection of the dead to the people who were assembled there. The Sadducees were very sad. Why? They don't believe in resurrection of the dead. Okay, and they were arrested. The rulers, the elders, and the teachers of the law started questioning Peter and John. Then Peter was filled with the Spirit and he started praising and glorifying Jesus and sharing gospel. And he shared, it's by the name of Jesus that this person was healed. And because there was a notable sign that a 40-year-old man was miraculously healed, they had to let Peter and John go. So what do we see first? Before Peter spoke, what happened? Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. This is the same Peter who was baptized with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. But here on chapter 4, verse 8, it says Peter was filled with Holy Spirit. So this is happening again. So we can be filled with Holy Spirit again and again. Ephesians 5:18, Paul asked the people of Ephesus to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So what happens when we are filled with the Holy Spirit? Let's see what happened to Peter when Holy Spirit moved, when Holy Spirit filled in him. Holy Spirit empowered Peter. Holy Spirit helped him to speak. Holy Spirit gave him boldness. Holy Spirit glorified Jesus through Peter. Whatever Peter spoke glorified Jesus. Holy Spirit did a supernatural healing. A man who was lame from the birth got healed and he was jumping and rejoicing. That was a supernatural healing. So my first point is, Holy Spirit empowers us. In Acts 4:13, we can see that when they saw the courage of Peter and John, so these people, the rulers, the elders, and the teachers of the law, were able to see a courage in Peter and John. That is when they realized that they were unschooled and ordinary men. So this shocked them. These unschooled, ordinary fishermen, they were able to speak with boldness and they were able to speak mighty things about God. This is like, imagine we are going in front of chief minister or a prime minister and talking about how to do the governing. So this is what was happening. Peter and John, the fishermen, were teaching the teachers of the law what is right with boldness. So Holy Spirit gives boldness. Holy Spirit teaches what to speak. After John and Peter was released, they went to the other believers and they prayed. What did they pray? In Acts 4:29, it says, "Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness." So these believers were praying for boldness. And what happened? In Acts 4:31, it says, "After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly." So they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And what happened? They all spoke what? The word of God. How? Boldly. Second thing is, Holy Spirit teaches us what to speak. In Luke 12:11-12, this is Jesus speaking to the disciples. He says, "When you are brought before synagogues, rulers and authorities, do not worry about how you will defend yourselves or what you will say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say." Holy Spirit will teach you at that moment, at that time, what you should say. I have personally experienced this. When I became a born again, at that time, my manager was an atheist. I shared gospel with him, and he is an intellectual man. He countered to me with many questions, many challenging questions. But Holy Spirit at that moment taught me what I should speak. And it was with full of wisdom, supernatural wisdom, that he was amazed. He was not able to counter it. So Holy Spirit will teach you at that moment what you should say. So what should be our response? Pray and seek filling of Holy Spirit daily. So my first point is, Holy Spirit empowers us. Second point is, Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus. In Acts 4:10-12, we saw Peter glorifying Jesus. What all did he say? In verse 10, he says, "Then know this, you and all people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed." It says, this man was healed by the name of Jesus. Wow, what a powerful name it is. By the name of Jesus, a 40-year-old man who was lame from the birth is healed. In Philippians 2:9 says, Jesus' name is above every name. You name, give any name to any sickness. Name of Jesus is above that name, above every sickness. Then Peter goes on to tell that Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. What is a cornerstone? Cornerstone is that stone in a building made of stones, which is the foundation. This is the stone on which the building is made. If this cornerstone is not good, the building will collapse. So these builders, these teachers of the law, who claim themselves to be the representatives of God, they rejected Jesus. That Jesus is the cornerstone. In Matthew 21:42, Jesus quotes Psalm 118:22 and says, "He is the cornerstone whom the builders rejected." Isaiah speaks about Jesus, says that he is the precious cornerstone for a sure foundation. If you need a sure foundation, Jesus is the cornerstone. He is the cornerstone, the foundation of our faith. The church is built on this rock. And Peter says in verse 12 that salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. He declares there is no other way for salvation. It's only in Jesus. In John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus." There is no other way for salvation, only through Jesus. So what's happening here? Holy Spirit is putting words into Peter's mouth and glorifying Jesus and sharing gospel. In John 16:13, to 14, it says, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you." So this is Jesus speaking to his disciples. And what is the Spirit of truth? This is Holy Spirit. When Holy Spirit comes, he will glorify Jesus. That's what Jesus is saying. So I have a question for you today. When was the last time you glorified Jesus to an unbeliever? No need to answer it. It's a question. It's an answer. You should get it for yourself. So what should be our response? Always be ready to let Holy Spirit glorify Jesus to the world through you. Look for opportunity to share the gospel. Ask for Holy Spirit help for boldness to share the gospel. So my first point is, Holy Spirit empowers us. My second point is, Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus through us. And my third point is, Holy Spirit does the supernatural. Like Joanna shared during the offering, believe for the supernatural. God is ready to bless us. Just believe. In Acts 4:16, it says, "What are we going to do with this man?" They asked, "Everyone living in Jerusalem knows they have performed a notable sign, and we cannot deny it." So what's happening? These rulers, elders, and teachers of law is saying that this is a notable sign. It's a powerful sign, and we cannot deny it. And everyone in Jerusalem knows this. So the sign is speaking. That sign cannot be denied. It's so supernatural. Imagine a person lame from birth who has never walked, a 40-year-old man. So my age, he has never walked, and he has started walking, jumping, running, praising God. That is a notable sign. And what is the result? In Acts 4:21-22, "After further threats, they let them go. They could not decide how to punish them, because all the people were praising God for what had happened. For the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old. The healing was so miraculous that they couldn't punish him." The sign, the healing, the supernatural thing, the supernatural move of Holy Spirit helped John and Peter to be released. In Hebrews 2:3-4, it says, "How shall we escape if we ignore so great a salvation? This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will." So what is this verse saying? It's saying that the gospel, the message of salvation, was confirmed by, testified by God through signs, wonders, and various miracles. So what should we do? Should we seek these signs, wonders, and various miracles and supernaturals? In Matthew 12, Jesus heals a blind and a mute person. Immediately after this supernatural healing, some teachers of the law comes to him to test him. He tells him, "Teacher, show us a sign." And what is Jesus' response? In Matthew 12:39, he says, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks signs, and you won't be given this sign. Only the sign of Jonah will be given." So does that mean signs, wonders, and miracles are wrong? No. The heart condition of these teachers of the law were wrong. They had just seen a sign, but they were not ready to believe. They were testing Jesus. It's the heart condition which matters. If you are looking for a supernatural to bless someone, to share the gospel, to bring people into faith. Yes, supernatural is what Holy Spirit does, and that is good. So what should be our response? Desire for more of Holy Spirit in our life. Be expectant of the supernatural daily. If you are not expectant of supernatural daily, then there is unbelief. We won't believe in supernatural. Jesus says we can do mightier things than what he has done. But we are not able to do small things. Let us be like the early church, where supernatural things happened through the power of the Holy Spirit. In one book by John Bevere, he has written, it's called Killing Kryptonite. So Kryptonites, those who have read Superman comics or seen Superman movies, you know what is Kryptonite. Kryptonite is a crystal. So when it's brought near Superman, Superman has all the powers. When this crystal is brought near that Superman, his power reduces. He has the power, but he is not able to operate in those powers he has. So in this book, Killing Kryptonite, John Bevere explains that we all have this kryptonite. That is why we are not able to see the supernatural, the power of Holy Spirit operate in us. So we should kill this kryptonite. So John Bevere says, destroy what steals your strength. Destroy this kryptonite. How? Repent. Repent is a word that repels many. Repent is not a bad word. It's just changing direction. That's all. Why should you repent? If you have grieved Holy Spirit, grieving is like Holy Spirit is there within you. He will never leave you, never forsake you. But if you live contrary to what the Bible says, if you live in sin, if you lie, if you bribe, if you do the desires of the flesh, then you are grieving Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4:30 says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Repent if you have quenched the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, do not quench the Holy Spirit. What is the difference between quenching and grieving? Grieving, as I said, if you are living an unholy life, or if you are doing something which is contrary to word, then you are grieving Holy Spirit. And quenching is when you are limiting Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit likes to do the supernatural things. When Peter used to walk, his shadow used to heal the people. That is supernatural. He wants to do it. Holy Spirit wants to do such supernatural things. But we limit Holy Spirit through our unbelief, through our distractions. So do not quench the Holy Spirit. So if you have grieved or quenched the Holy Spirit, let's take a few seconds, 30 seconds, and I ask Holy Spirit whether you have grieved or quenched Holy Spirit. If so, repent. Ask for Holy Spirit's help to repent and turn and do what is right. Let's take 30 seconds. And let's hear from Holy Spirit and repent. I'm sure Holy Spirit would have revealed to you something, some action which has grieved him or quenched him. Even I have done it. So let's pray. Holy Spirit, forgive us for grieving you. Forgive us for quenching you. Help us not to grieve you, not to quench you, but operate in the gifts of your Spirit, Lord. Surrender. We heard from Vinci's testimony how surrendering is very important. Not my will, but your will, Lord. In Matthew 16:24, says, then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Jesus is asking to deny themselves and take up the cross and follow him. That is, do his will, not to be entangled by the pleasures of the world. Do not let flesh overcome you. Do what Jesus asks you to do. Do what Holy Spirit asks you to do. So how to do it? You can cast away evil forces. You cannot cast your flesh. You have to crucify the flesh. Make this decision to follow Jesus in everything. This is something you have to do yourself. I cannot ask you to do it. Only Holy Spirit can ask you to do it. So let's take a moment of, let's say 15 seconds. And if you want to do it now. Ask Holy Spirit to help you in following Jesus in everything. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, help us to surrender ourselves completely to you. Help us to do your will. Give us the grace and strength to follow your will, not our will, but your will, Lord. There is power in surrender, amazing power. Lord is looking for yielded vessels. We are praying for revival. The revival should begin in us. And for that, Holy Spirit needs yielded vessels, completely surrendered vessels. Third thing is desire. There should be a desire for more of Holy Spirit. The desire for the spiritual. Isaiah 44:3 says, "For I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I'll pour out my spirit on your offering and my blessing on your descendants." God is looking for thirsty land to bless. Do you have the thirst? The thirst should be there. The desire should be there. If you desire and pray, God will give. He is looking for the poor spirits. In John 7:37-39, Jesus is speaking on the last day of the festival of tents. He says, "On the last and great day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, 'Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them.' By this, he meant the Spirit whom those who believed in him were later to receive." So what's happening here? Jesus is asking those people who are thirsty to come to him. And those who believe in Jesus will receive the rivers of living water. That is, Holy Spirit will flow from within them. So through us, the Holy Spirit should flow like rivers of living water. Is that happening to you? I have experienced this one or two times, but this should be a frequent thing. I remember one day when I was traveling with some unbelieving friends, non-believers, and we were staying together. And I was praying in the morning. And one of my friend was not coming in the area where I prayed. He said, "There is something there, something holy. I should not be going there." He was convicted by the presence of the Lord. What was happening? Rivers of living water was flowing from within me. I have heard many preachers say, when they go into the room, people getting convicted, people getting touched by the power of the Holy Spirit. We should be doing this. We should be having this experience so that many come into faith. We should operate in such power of Holy Spirit. If you want to do it, if you want to do mighty things for the kingdom, and you want to go to heaven and hear Jesus say, "Well done, my faithful and good servant." If you want to hear it, desire for more of Holy Spirit. Be thirsty. Pray. Let's pray. Father, help us to experience more of your Spirit every day. Help us to be filled in the Spirit every day. Help us to impact a multitude. Let supernatural things happen. Help us to pray mighty big prayers, because you are a God who can turn impossible things into as possible. Thank you, Jesus. We ask all this in Jesus' name. So to conclude, I would share, be thirsty for more of Holy Spirit. Remember, he empowers you. He glorifies Jesus. He does the supernatural. That's all for the day. Thank you all for joining. Let presence of Holy Spirit go with you and touch you, and let Holy Spirit minister to you throughout the week.